All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is April 3rd, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Woke up this morning, rain. Rain is becoming a serious theme lately. I'm sure it rains a lot this time of year, every year. But I guess I don't always remember. So it does feel like we've had a lot of rain. We were supposed to paddle this morning, and it's raining. And we were actually, my coach is like, we might have to dodge a few raindrops tomorrow, but we're going to try to go for it. And then he texted me this morning. He said, nah, it's terrible out. And it is terrible out. So new plan. Thought I'd come in this morning. I actually went to a meeting this morning, which was really cool. It was actually As Bill Sees It. I think it was page 92. Let me see. 92, I think, is what we read. 92. Yeah. And I'll read it. Why not? Walking towards serenity. When I was tired and couldn't concentrate, I used to fall back on the affirmation towards life that took the form of simple walking and deep breathing. I sometimes told myself that I couldn't do even this. That I was too weak. But I learned that this was the point at which I could not give in without becoming still more depressed. So I would set myself a small stint. I would determine a walk a quarter of a mile, and I would concentrate by counting my breathing. Say 6 steps to each slow inhalation and 4 to each exhalation. Having done the quarter mile, I found that I could go on, maybe a half mile more, then another half mile, and maybe another. This was encouraging. The false sense of physical weakness would leave me, this feeling of being so characteristic of depression. The walking and especially the breathing were powerful affirmations towards life and living and away from failure and death. The counting represented a minimum discipline and concentration to get one rest from the wear and tear of fear and guilt. You know, it's a it's actually really a great reading. I like how, you know, and this is just for me, you know, I read this and clearly it talks about walking, and immediately I was reminded, you know, when I came into the program and started getting sober, the first thing I wanted to fix was my physical, right? I wanted to lose some weight, get in better shape, you know, get to be the person that I had always wanted to be. But, you know, as a person that's worked this program and continues to work this program, and I read this today, and it's really, to me, it's about something different. And it's, you know, sometimes I remember coming in this program thinking, how am I ever going to stay sober, right? I couldn't put a day. But, you know, I never tried. Really, I never tried to put a day together, right? I never tried to put 2 days together. I never had a desire to get sober, so that was really not on my radar. But when I finally decided, or life decided, it was time for me to get sober the first time, right? I was like, how am I ever going to stay sober? And it was really just 1 minute at a time, right? And I know that people say that, but it's all I could handle. You know, 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time. I luckily, when I came in, I had gotten in that fight. I'd gotten the desire to drink punched right out of me. I had lost the desire to drink, right? But I had to fill it with something different, which was a program, right? And going to meetings. And I was, you know, and we hear this a lot. You know, how am I ever going to celebrate my kid's first wedding, right, without having a drink? And how am I going to do this without having a drink? And I get it. Right. And so early on, you know, I had to take it 1 minute, 1 half hour, 1 hour at a time and just start to put it together. Right. And you start to feel hope. And it's pretty amazing. Right. And I did the same thing. You know, I was a smoker. I was a drinker. I was a food abuser. I was a drug abuser. I abused everything. The main thing I abused was my body. Right. This vehicle that's been so freely given to me. And I treated it the worst, right? I treated my car better than I treated my brain car, right? And, you know, and I wanted to get better, and I had to, and I remember, I wanted to start running. And I was always walking. I would walk, but I wanted to run. And I remember taking, you know, these small little goals, right? I'm going to just run to the corner and then I'll walk the rest. I'm going to run just past the corner and then I'm going to walk the rest. And I started doing that. And eventually I started putting a little bit of distance together. And, you know, eventually I would run 5 miles. I never got to a point where I ran a marathon. I just didn't have that desire. But I would run 5, 10 miles, right? Way more than I ever thought that I would. In fact, if you had asked me when I first started, I'd probably told you that I don't think I could ever run. But one little foot at a time, and I started to put a little distance together, and I really started to become a runner. And so, you know, anything's possible, right? I know for me, I was down so low, I felt hopeless. And whether it was recovery, or whether it was running, or whether it was taking on the day, you know, I had to take it in small, teeny little pieces and start to build a little bit of evidence that one day maybe I can actually do this, right?
From above, when I climbed down to be set free, she took me in again. There's a big, a big hot sun beating on the big people in the big hard world. When she comes to greet me, she is mercy at my feet. In her charm, she just throws it back at me. Once I dug an early grave to find a better land, she just smiled and laughed at me and took her blues back again.
Big Eddie Vedder singing this morning, Hard Sun. These are all this is all from that movie, whatever the fucking movie is. Into the Wild. Eddie Vedder did the soundtrack. This is all the soundtrack stuff from that movie. It's so good. But yeah, it was, you know, little pieces, right? The sayings are there, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time. You know, I shared, you know, in the meeting that, there, you know, for me, it's always been about, I shouldn't say that. I'm starting to learn, right, that it's more than just sobriety. And what I shared in the meeting is sobriety will not keep us sober, right? And I know that sounds weird, but to just stop drinking isn't enough. Or is it? Right. You know, some people come in for different reasons, right? I came in because I got caught too much and I was a drunk driver, and I would have been absolutely perfectly content with never drinking and driving again. That was really all I wanted to stop. The problem is that if I'm left to my own devices, I will somehow talk myself back into drinking. I've done it. And I thought I was doing something, right? I thought I had this. I was 1 minute, 1 half hour, 1 hour at a time. I did that. And I got to this point where I was just sober, right? I had sort of worked some steps, right? But not that much. And I got to this point where I talked myself back into having a drink. And not only did I talk myself into, I talked my wife into allowing it too, right? That's how fucking cunning that disease is. When it shows up, it's like, yeah, we got a plan. I got myself on board. The next thing was get my wife on board. Who else was next? Nobody, right? Because anybody else would have been like, bullshit. But my wife could be tricked and I was tricked and off we went. Off I went, right? And what a nightmare for her and for myself. And so sobriety will not keep us sober. Serenity, right? Serenity. And whether it's 1 minute at a time working towards not drinking or if it's 1 minute at a time working towards serenity, you know, we have to keep reminding ourselves there's other things past just the fact we don't drink, right? There's conversations and relationships and interactions, and you want to be the best person that you can be for all these situations because really we don't know which one is going to be the one that throws us, you know, for a loop, right? I've shared the way they collected the money. That's not an argument, right? That's not someone calling me out on my bullshit. That's me, myself, and I determining we didn't like the way they collected the money, so we didn't go back. I wasn't definitely not expecting that. You know, of course I'm not going to get into a confrontation with somebody at a meeting, right? That's not very serene, right? But to actually have this thought between me and myself and I and not share it, like, I didn't expect that. And that's exactly what took me out. So, you know, that's what I got from the reading tonight is like, or this morning, excuse me. You know, it's, you know, one day at a time, right? But it's one day at a time putting some time between us picking up that drink, and then we need to start, or we should, or if you want, right? I'm not telling you what to do, but as a person, I've been doing this for a while. Serenity is sort of the key, right? To get to this place where we're free of fear, right? And then we become in love with that, right? All of a sudden, we start having this new type of relationship that no one had ever called God, right? Nobody ever told me this was the example of having a higher power, and it's for me, to each his own, right? But man, it makes a lot of sense. Where else would I want to be? And if God was going to be there in this place, free of fear, right? And so it sort of takes me into the next thing, which was that, you know, I went to the meeting on Monday. You know, last week we did the 8th step, and then this week we did the 9th step. And the 9th step, you know, made direct amends to those people we had harmed, except when to do so would injure them or others. I think that's it. Let me pull out the manual. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And, you know, when I came, you know, I shared the other day my original anniversary, March 31st, 1997. March 30th, 1997, I was such a bag of crazy emotions, right? So selfish, right? And what does selfish people, you know, what do they worry about? Everything that affects them, right? And so I came in this like a backpack full of fear and anxiety and worry and history and amazing things I was going to do in the future and regrets from the past, just this whole bag of shit. And, you know, I look back and I look at it now and I think, how would somebody even start to find some peace in their life if they didn't address that backpack, right? That backpack that carried all of our shit. And I mean, I couldn't imagine doing, I can't even go, like if I have something that happens to me in the morning, I have trouble going through the rest of the day without addressing that, you know. And today it's a change purse, right? It's a little pocket bag, right? My daughter calls it a waist bag. What does she call it? We used to call it fanny pack, right? It's a new term, right? But you know, that bag today is much, 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 much smaller. Right, it's like this little change purse, right, that I carry my shit in today. Back in those days, it was a backpack, right? It might have even been a check-in luggage, right? The kind that has wheels and the handle. That's how much fucking bullshit that I dragged around in my life. And I just thought that was life, right? I just thought that's part of life. We just carry this shit around, and it's toxic, and it's fine, and whatever. But if I'm going to go moving on to this next place, right? And like I said, I came in this program for one reason and one reason only: stop drinking and driving. And who does that serve? Self, right? Because it's not that I wanted to, find recovery and find serenity. I just wanted the inconvenience of worrying about getting a DUI or drinking and driving or feeling just that shame every morning where I'd be like, ugh, I did it again, right? And so I didn't have a whole lot of expectations, but over time, right, learning, right, this is a lifetime, one day at a time, right, 1 minute at a time, but it is forever, right? No one likes to say that, and we shouldn't. Stay in the day. But listen, I don't want to drink again. I do not want to drink again, and I don't want to carry around a giant piece of luggage full of garbage. And if I'm going to start fresh, right, these are those steps, right? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. These are really the steps. These are the deep cleaning, right? This is where, you know, when we bought our new house, we had people come in, right? And it was actually, they did a construction cleaning, but it was iffy, right? But we called the company and we said, listen, we never really had the house cleaned. So they came in, right, and they did this deep clean. And it was, you know, it was a new house, so it wasn't too bad. But, you know, it had like sawdust and bugs and weird shit that starts to build up in a house when it's being built. And so we actually had them come in and do this deep clean, right? And it took like a couple days. And it allowed us to have a fresh start, right? From this point on, we will maintain this starting point, right? It's, you know, I think we all do that. We all try to get to our house, you know, whether we have a clean house or not. But at some point, we do this deep clean, right? And then we sort of start fresh, right? I always have these countertops or these drawers that somehow become full of junk, or they start to collect a bunch of junk on them, and then finally we'll get in there and dig in and clean it. And then we have a fresh start, and then we try not to let that happen again. Right. And that's sort of what like these steps are, right? Let's get a deep clean. Let's get in there, right? Let's, you know, and it's good to have, that's why we have the sponsor, right? We get a sponsor, we go in together, right? And we start digging and cleaning. And, you know, if we don't see the dirt, right? If we don't point out the dirt, nobody maybe ever realizes it was the dirt. Right. And that's what's great to work with a sponsor and in this program, so that the sponsor can go, man, that is some dirt right there. We need to address that dirt. And that's some deeper dirt. Right. Whatever it is, it's good to have somebody, because in the end, we get it all together and then you share about your dirt. Right. This is what my dirt was. And then you get it all and then you throw it away. Right. And that's what 8 and 9 is, right? We finally make that list of people that we had harmed or had harmed us or whatever it is that we have to do to get to a point to really have that willingness, right? That the courage, right? Regardless what they're going to say or what's going to happen, I have to do this. I've got to get rid of this dirt. I've got to get rid of this backpack. You know, my kids have these fucking huge backpacks full of shit. And I'm like, what's all in here, right? And, this is that opportunity. Let's clean it out. Let's move down to the change purse, right? Because after these steps, right, and after we clean it all out and expose all the dirt and get rid of it, then we can actually throw away the backpack, right? We can actually move down to a change purse, because now what happens is we have our 10th step. And, you know, I said this the other night, you know, it's, you know, I love to talk about the steps. Steps are key. We've got to do the steps. If you want to have some success, I'll just say it. You got to do the steps, right? You got to work with a sponsor. You got to work the 12 steps of this program to work towards serenity, right? But eventually, right, we get to the 10th step. And I said this the other night. You know, it's not that I have to continue to live these steps, right? I don't have to live step one, right? I'm clearly admitted that I'm powerless over alcohol, right? I have built a relationship with God. I've actually, the day I said that step to the day I am today, it's grown, right? It's become a whole different thing that I'm absolutely in love with. Respect, right? Fascinating, right? Blown away, really, by where I've gotten to as far as this relationship with God, right? Learned how I can make better decisions, and it turns out to be better in my life, right? And then I can look back and say, wow, look at all the bad choices I was making and how it affected my life. The third step starts working in our lives on a daily basis, right? And then we do the moral inventory, and then we share it, right? That's the beginning of starting to dig through the backpack, right? The deep, the side pockets, right? Where where no sunshine gets, right? And then we get in with the fifth step and we share it and we clean it out a little more. And then we do our sixth and seventh step and we start understanding these character defects. These are the things that now start keeping us from that relationship with God, right? We can be perfectly fine, do something stupid, fear comes in, relationship ends, right? It's on and off relationship at this point, right? We do the six and seven, and then we get into eight and nine, right? And we're cleaning up not only the things that screw us up, but now the people that we screwed up, right? And we start to look at them, and we make an amends, and we're willing. We don't want any trouble. If it works, we can say it. But if it doesn't, we're cool with it too. It's about the willingness. But at this point, we get to the 10th step. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it. Now we get to have a coin purse, right? Now we have this little bitty pouch that we keep in our pocket for our shit. And what the 10th step allows us to not, you know, when something happens, you know, and at this point to the 10th step, it's been quite a journey. We've seen it all. We've heard it all. If we've, you know, really been willing to this and have an open heart and really have a desire to get through this stuff, we've seen a lot of stuff, right? And so now today, hopefully, right, our character defects are a little bit better, right? Our shortcomings are a little bit better. You know, we've cleaned up on our moral inventory. We're starting to understand how we can be with people. We don't want that to happen. Hopefully, we're in a place we're not creating a bunch of bullshit. But if we do, right, it doesn't have to be that big, right? Because we have the 10th step. We can sit down and we can make an amends. And honestly, you know, if you are sitting around going, I wonder if I upset somebody, right? Or if I wonder if that was wrong. I personally feel it right in my hole, right in my spirit, not in my hole, my heart. I feel it in my heart. And immediately I'm like, oh God, I can't do that, right? I don't even allow it to get into the change purse. It's real still in my hand. I don't like it. I have to clean it up immediately. The change purse, I guess, is for emergencies, right? Maybe we might at the end of the night poke around in the change purse to see if there's any last little thing we need to clean up, right? Sometimes we do things we can't speak to the person, right? Like the day when I was, you know, bickering and fighting with that lady on the highway, you know, there was a lot of parts that I played in that, right? I didn't have to play any of it, but I did, right? And I've shared it, and I would owe that lady an amends, but you know what? She owes me one too. So we'll just call it even. But what I can do is say, what can I do different next time? And maybe ride my bike. I don't know. But the point is, I don't need, you know, there's some little things that I can't speak to, right? But I still can make note and put it to bed. And, you know, so I can start the day off with a clean slate. And then we have the 11th and the 12 steps. And what I said the other night was, I really feel like we sort of live, you know, people talk about we got to live in the steps. We really live in 10 and 11, right? It's that continuing to take personal inventory, which means to me is sort of like continuing to take a look at 4 and 5, or at least 4, right? Is there something immoral inventory? Is there something immoral going on here, right? And then 6 and 7, my shortcomings, has a shortcoming showed back up, right? Because I've identified them, right? I've dropped the rock, right? I've let go of the anchor that's around my neck. I'm ready to move past these things. But sometimes we collect one, right? Collect a shortcoming or a character defect. You know, did I collect one, right? Did I bring one back up? Do I need to address it, right? It's sort of living in that 10th and 11th step and then continuing to have a relationship with a higher power, you know, having prayer, you know, asking for forgiveness or whatever it is we do, right? Dear Lord, I just wanted to let you know my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, I saw that character defect show back up. I see it, right? I don't want it. I got to let it go. And dear Lord, I need to make an amends or whatever it is, but this constant, you know, relationship. And then obviously the 12 step, which is we work with another alcoholic. To me, that's living steps, right? That is living in the steps, but you got to do all of the work that gets us to the point where we can live in the steps. And so it was a great reading as Bill sees it. Like I said, it was page 92. And then at the meeting on Monday, it was on the 9th step. You know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are really about giving us a fresh start. And, you know, when I think about when I was a kid and I would have these conversations with my parents where we finally, you know, I get caught again, right? And I would finally spill my guts and sometimes, like my dad would say, is there anything else? And I'd say, no, right? Even though there was. Is there anything else? No, even though there was, right? And finally, right, I would say, yes, okay, yes, I've also ditched this class, and I also failed this test, right? Right, because I know that now I was going to basically have 30 days, because my dad used to drug test me every 30 days, right? And so now I was going to have 30 days of somewhat freedom, right? Like I could, like a lot of the times my dad would call the school. I used to ditch so much school, it was a real issue. And my dad would call the school, and he would smooth it all over, and then I could show up back to school, and I would just be relieved, right? Oh my God, this burden over on my shoulders would just be so much lighter. And that's what these steps do, right? You can pick and choose, right? But if you're going to get into a fresh start and you want to be free of all this guilt and shame and bullshit, we might as well get it all out. You're only hurting yourself if you don't try to get it all out, right? If you think you're saving, you know, if you think that, you know, not being honest and sharing it all is going to make you look bad to your sponsor, nobody cares, right? All we want is people to stay sober and hopefully find serenity, right? And not enough people talk about serenity, but there is more, right? Sobriety, I don't think, will keep us sober. And if it does, it's probably not the greatest sobriety you can have, right? You can have serenity. And what is the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Acceptance, courage, and wisdom. And man, if you got those three things, you should hopefully be able to have somewhat of a decent day. All right, let me read the daily reflections. I appreciate you letting me share. Big day today, big day. Not really. I got to get my teeth cleaned. I have got to, what do I have to do? Teeth cleaned, car fixed, meeting. In-laws are coming in town tonight. So it's going to be a great day. Cook them up a nice, fresh, healthy meal. I did get some shit. You know, I talked the other day about RFK Jr. Love RFK Jr., but I did catch some shit on. I got some messages. Some people will explain to me what an idiot I am. That's fine. It's okay. So, whatever. But love that guy. All right. Accepting our humanness. April 3rd. We finally saw that the inventory should be ours, not the other man's. So we admitted our wrongs honestly and became willing to set these matters straight. Shocking. That says Bill sees it, page 222. Why is it that the alcoholic is so unwilling to accept responsibility? I used to drink because of the things that other people did to me. Once I came to AA, I was told to look at where I had been wrong. What did I have to do with all these different matters? When I simply accepted that I had a part in them, I was able to put it on paper and see it for what it was. Humanness. Nice. I am not expected to be perfect. I have made errors before, and I will make them again. To be honest about them allows me to accept them and myself and those with whom I had the differences from there. Recovery is just a short distance ahead. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Not much more to be said about that. I hope everybody has an amazing day. You know, if you're getting this, congratulations. If you're just new to it, congratulations. Enjoy it, man. This is a real opportunity to clean that backpack out and get a fresh start. What's better? All right, later.